This podcast was adapted from a live radio broadcast originally aired on WSUM Free Flow.
The opinions expressed in this podcast do not reflect the views of WSUM, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, or its Board of Regents.
So jumping right into our topic for tonight, I finally caught up with the famed Anna Sophie, who is one of my best friends from high school. I've mentioned them quite a few times on the show before, even last week. I was talking about poems that they gave me. So I've mentioned Anna Sophie quite a few times, and I finally talked to them. We finally found a time to just call and hang out, which was really nice. I think the last time I saw them in person was in May, so it's been almost an entire year. Also, I should mention that Anna Sophie lives in the Netherlands, so it's really hard to see each other. But during that phone call, I just kind of realized we've really grown up together because we met, I want to say, sophomore year of high school. We met in AP Bio. And truly, the bonds you forge in STEM classes as humanities kids, it's unreal. And then at the same time, we also took AP Euro. So shout out Miss Staley. Miss Staley is my favorite teacher from high school. It was kind of funny because I was thinking about that while I was putting the show together. And I remember one of the units that I remember really vividly from AP Euro, weirdly enough, is when we were talking about like the Dutch Golden Age. And it's kind of a funny full circle moment because Anna Sophie now lives in the Netherlands and I want to write my thesis on Dutch art. So it was kind of funny to think about that. And going along with that, I kind of realized some things have changed. Some things have stayed the same. It was really funny because Anna Sophie made an agenda for us to talk about before we got on the phone. So we shared pet news. They have two family cats named Arrow and Houdini. Houdini's also known as Himbo because he's an orange cat. And if you know anything about orange cats, they're quite silly. So we shared pet news and we also shared family news, and which is old business. We've talked about that all the time. We talked about that in high school. We talk about it now. But now we also talk about what it's like being in school. You know, me as a UW student and them as a grad student studying brain things in Amsterdam. And also just the general chaos of being 20. So it was, I don't know, there's something just so warm and comforting about hearing someone you're familiar with growing up alongside you, even if you're not next to each other. And it was really special, kind of like being able to share what our lives have been like, even though we're apart. And again, just the agenda, it made me really laugh. But it's also really touching when you think about how they wanted to know what's going on in my life. So we're like, okay, we need to make sure that we're hitting all of the important points because a lot happens in 10 months. So one of the big things that I shared with Anna Sophie is that so far it seems like I might be in the Netherlands for a full year. And they were very excited, which is sweet because the city that I'm going to end up in is 20 minutes away from Amsterdam via train. So it'll be nice getting to explore the city together again. Because I went to the Netherlands over the winter last year. And they were there in Germany with their family, but they were considering Amsterdam for grad school. So we were both in Amsterdam at the same time. And it was all the chaos you'd expect with like two teenagers, two 19-year-olds in Amsterdam alone. So what happened was Anna Sophie had a hostel in Amsterdam, and I think I also had a hostel in Amsterdam, but we were just walking around the city and it was raining that night and we were thinking, you know what would be really fun right now? If we go into a store and buy purple hair dye to dye Anna Sophie's hair. So we got the purple hair dye and we went to Anna Sophie's hostel. No, we went to my hostel. We put the hair dye in Anna Sophie's hair and then we were like, you know what? Better than just sitting around in this hostel bathroom, let's walk around and see what else Amsterdam has to offer. So we kept seeing all of these little French fry joints around town called Monkin Piss Fries. Yes, like the statue in Belgium. I don't know what the correlation is, but they marketed themselves as the best French fries in Amsterdam, or sorry, in the Netherlands. I wouldn't say that they were the best French fries, but they were pretty good. So we were just walking around eating these French fries with purple hair dye in Anna Sophie's hair. And like I said, it was drizzling that night. So So we were just walking around Amsterdam eating these French fries, and slowly but surely, this purple hair dye just like slowly starts to slide off of their head and onto their neck. And it was just pure chaos because I was standing there like, okay, should we go back to the hostel? Like, I don't know how to help you. I don't know what to do because you just have hair dye in your like all over your face now. And they were trying to like rinse their hands in like the puddles on the street. So more kooky adventures like that to come next year, or actually this fall. Oh, but yeah, I'm really excited to be able to only be 20 minutes apart from Anna Sophie and to have more strange adventures like that. 그래서 제가 되게 유명한 친구를 만났어요. 저희 이거 친구 아나 소피. 그래서 제가 몇 번에 아나 소피를 인컨글스에서 얘기해봤는데 근데 제가 이번 주에 드디어 전화 통화를 하게 됐어요. 그래서 전화 통화를 하면서 이제 우리가 진짜 같이 자랐다는 거가 이거 확 느끼는 거였어요. 왜냐면 우리가 이제 고등학교 때 여기 미국에서 고등학교 2학년? 한국에서 아마 고1? 고1 때 만났는데 근데 우리가 진짜 처음에는 이제 만났을 때 한 15살? 15살인가 그때 만났는데 근데 이제 우리는 거의 21살이 돼가니까 어떤 거는 바뀌었고 어떤 거는 아직 똑같다는 게 그게 되게 크게 느껴졌어요. 왜냐면 뭐 우리가 얘기한 것 중에서 이제 키우는 애완동물 뭐 이거 그 집의 고양이들, 내 집의 강아지, 우리 가족들이 어떻게 지내는지 그런 거는 항상 뭐 고등학교 때부터 그런 얘기를 나눴는데 근데 이제는 우리가 대학생, 뭐 학부생, 대학원 생활도 나누고 이제 20살 되면서 이제 그런 살림도 어떤지 그것도 나누고 하고 좀 약간 마음이 되게 따뜻했어요. 왜냐면 내가 이렇게 너무 소중한 친구, 너무 잘하는 친구가 나랑 옆에 이렇게 같이 자는 게 너무 감동이었어요. 왜냐면 우리가 내가 미국 있고 걔는 이제 네덜란드에 있으면서 우리가 뭐 항상 같이 시간을 못 보내지만 우리는 똑같이 서로를 생각하면서 서로를 뭐 사랑하면서 이제 친구로 같이 막 너는 어떻게 잘 지내니? 이렇게 같이 점점 더 어른으로 되는 게 그것을 알아갈 수 있어서 그게 너무 좋았어요. 그래서 또 제가 이제 요번에 좀 되게 큰 일이 났어요. 내가 이제 다음 학년에 아마 네덜란드로 교환학생으로 갈 건데 제가 저희 친구한테 알려줬어요. 야, 내가 아마 내년에 네덜란드 있을 거라고. 근데 제가 공부할 도시하고 걔가 있는 암스테르담은 기차로 한 20분 떨어져 있어요. 그래서 걔가 되게 좋아하면서 막 너무 좋다. 이제 너가 나랑 옆에 그냥 20분만 떨어져 있어서 막 많이 이거 같이 볼 수 있고 그러면서 좋다고 그렇게 얘기했는데 제가 1년 전에 아나 소피를 암스테르담에서 만났어요. 그래서 우리가 둘 다 뭐 20살 되게 전에라서 우리는 둘 다 19살? 19살 때 둘 다 혼자 암스테르담에 다니면서 뭐 약간 그냥 이것저것 구경하다가 걔가 머리를 염색하고 싶었어요. 그래서 우리가 이제 약간 편의점 같은 데 가서 머리 염색을 샀어요. 그래서 우리가 호스텔 가서 걔 머리 염색을 이거 머리에 바르고 이제 구경하다가 약간 왠지 암스테르담에서 이거 막 프랜차이즈를 되게 좋아요. 그래서 그것을 사 먹으러 갔는데 근데 웃기는 게 그게 벨기에 되게 유명한 미술이 있어요. 이거 망킨패스라고. 근데 왠지 그게 프렌치프라이가 그 이름이 있었어요. 그래서 그것을 먹으면서 갑자기 막 비가 오면서 걔 머리에 있는 염색약이 다 막 천천히 흘려내리고 막 목에 묻고 얼굴에 묻고 완전 난리 났어요. 그래서 걔가 계속 그냥 길에서 막 손도 씻고 그냥 진짜 완전 난리팔렸는데 근데 이제 갑자기 걔랑 같이 전화하다가 이제 내가 앞으로 살 거를 생각하면서 약간 그 추억이 다시 생각나면서 앞으로 이제 그런 비슷한 추억을 계속 가지면 너무 좋을 것 같아요. And as promised, it's been a long, long time coming, but Anna Sophie Poem Hour is here. I've mentioned quite a few times how Anna Sophie is the friend that I would exchange poems with over the pandemic. I actually have a notebook full of our letters and like postcards. It's basically a time capsule. I was reading it last night, and you can definitely tell that we were losing our minds a little bit. Like, one of the things that I found was a post-it note about mold. I think Anna Sophie, like, basically wrote to me about how they left out a cup for 2 days and it got really moldy. I also found a note about them making pasta for breakfast. Anna Sophie is a little bit, or at least in high school, they were kind of infamous for having really unhinged, unorthodox breakfasts. Like, one of my core memories of AP Bio is just walking in, it's 8 a.m., they have a container, and they have a Tupperware container, a thermos of hot water, and a packet of instant mashed potatoes. Breakfast of champions, let me tell you. But I also found an old postcard, and this made me laugh reading it last night. And I quote, "There's not so much that's new, but here are some updates. Houdini is growing out of his himbo phase. He's figured out that being smart gets him treats. Also, he killed a chipmunk today, which I had to bury in my backyard. It was really quite tragic. Nevertheless, I praised him for a wonderful job, then quickly left to dig the tiny grave. Sadly, that is the end of the story. There was no chipmunk resurrection. My dad and I have eaten ham for at least one meal per day for almost a week. I am so sick of ham. It is good to realize that what goes into the freezer must come out of the freezer." End quote. See, I feel like that is only a paragraph that could have come out of the pandemic. I was just reading all of this last night, and just like the memories of being a 17-year-old teenager during the time, during the era of COVID, just came crashing down unto me. But more seriously, I feel like all those notes kind of gave me a glimpse into what was important to us at 17, because Anna Sophie wrote quite a few times about their dreams of moving to the Netherlands or Portugal, and that came true. And also, little did I know at 17 years old that that would kind of become my dream, at least for a year. And, you know, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, but being a teenage girl was the hardest thing I've ever done. I found my NYU rejection letter in that notebook, and I was reading it, and I remember just, like, the devastation that came with that, because I remember so distinctly that, like, while I was reading it, I felt like the world was collapsing under me. I thought it was the worst. And, you know, to be fair, it was the worst thing that could have happened to me in that moment, because it was really my dream. Like, I already had kind of built a fantasy future around it, and then that just didn't happen, and that wasn't going to happen anymore. So it was really interesting just like reading all of that and reading my words and like reading my words and now looking back a few years later and realizing I survived that, and I'm very happy with where I am in life now. For example, this is an excerpt from the day I turned 18. So this is freshly 18-year-old Hiwan. And I quote, "I turned 18. I've been waiting for this my whole life, and now I'm thinking, what now? I don't feel like an adult. I don't feel cosmically different from yesterday, like an adult. I just don't want to be stuck in one place for the rest of my life with people I'm lukewarm about, doing a job I don't really like just to survive. But something tells me my life is going to be a fantastical whirlwind beyond dreams. I know it'll be soon." End quote. I was reading this last night in my room going, wow. Okay, pretentious. I feel like I took everything so seriously when I was 18. And now I like kind of laugh a little bit. Like, I've talked about this recently, but I said to someone, I was recounting my memory of my high school graduation to someone, and I basically said, the second I walked across the stage and I had my diploma, I realized none of this matters. Why was I so stressed? None of this matters. Not to sound nihilistic, don't get me wrong. I had a lot of really good moments in high school, a lot of really fond memories that I look back on now. But again, just like reading this, like my diary and sort of getting a glimpse back into the anguish and anxiety that I felt, it turned out okay. I'm so happy. I'm so glad that things have turned out the way that they have, that I'm living the life that I have now. 제가 저번에 약속한 것처럼 제가 아나 소피에서 저에게 보내줬던 시를 읽을 건데, 근데 아나 소피는 저에게 이 시를 보냈을 때 그게 팬데믹 동안이라서, 그래서 제가 그쯤에 이런 노트북 같은 게 있었어요. 근데 그 노트북 안에 편지들이 싹 다 안에 들어가 있었어요. 그래서 약간 타임캡슐 같은 거? 근데 팬데믹 시간이라서 우리가 다 약간 정신이 좀 없었던 게 그게 확 다 보였어요. 뭐 일단 아나소피는 저에게 약간 곰팡? 노트를 보내시는 약간 곰팡에서 대한 노트도 써주고 뭐 한 번에는 파스타를 아침에 먹었다고 약간 그런 것도 얘기해주고 근데 걔가 항상 수업 시간에 좀 약간 이상한 것을 막 아침 시간 때 먹었어요. 걔가 한 번 막 감자? 막 감자도 먹고 이제 제가 이런 옛날에 썼던 다 포스트카드 뭐 편지 그런 같은 걸 읽으면서 내가 딱 18살? 그쯤에 내가 뭐가 중요했었던지 그것을 어떻게 뭘 제일 많이 신경을 썼는지 그것을 다시 알아보니까 너무 신기했어요. 왜냐면 내가 이제 겁이 있었던 게 뭐 내가 겁이 있어도 내가 뭐 상상했었던 내가 살고 싶었던 삶이 안 돼도 나는 지금이 되게 행복하고 지금 되게 만족스럽다는 게 그게 확 다시 느껴졌어요. 왜냐면 내가 뭐 그 나이에 내가 꼭 이렇게 살아야지 내가 행복할 거라 내가 행복할 거라서 내가 이렇게 꼭 됐으면 좋겠다. 내가 이제 이미 뭐 뉴욕에 사는 거 약간 이런 거에서 꿈이 되게 컸는데 근데 내가 처음에는 좀 되게 약간 섭섭했어요. 내가 계속 위스콘신에서 학교를 다녀야 된다고. 근데 이제 만약에 내가 이 시간 뭐 18살에 내가 꼭 안 하고 싶었던 게 됐는데 나는 아직 되게 행복하고 이제 뉴욕에서 내가 지금처럼 이렇게 행복하게 못 살 거라고 약간 그런 생각도 당했어요. 하고 내가 특히 18살 때 딱 내 생일에서 내가 이제 뭐 어른처럼 안 느끼다고 내가 계속 살면서 행복하게 살고 싶다고 이렇게 썼는데 근데 내가 그것을 읽으면서 아 너는 이제 몰랐었구나. 네, 제가 확실히 지금 되게 행복하게 살고 있었는데 근데 와 너는 진짜 겁이 너무 많았다 약간 그런 생각이 들었어요. And finally, the long-awaited Anna Sophie poem moment. I have quite a few poems. I don't think we'll be able to get through all of them today, but one that sticks out to me, one that's kind of perfect for Inkhonglish. And again, this was sent to all of these poems were sent to me years before Inkhonglish became a real thing. But there's one called Between Autumn Equinox and Winter Solstice Today by Emily Chungmin Yoon. And again, I'm going to read this poem. I read a Korean poem with a line, quote, "Today you are the youngest you will ever be," end quote. "Today I am the oldest I have been. Today we drink buckwheat tea. Today I have heat in my apartment. Today I think about the word chada in Korean. It means cold. It means to be filled with. It means to kick, to wear. Today we're worn. Today you wear the cold. Your chilled skin. My heart kicks on my skin. Someone said winter has broken his windows. The heat inside and the cold outside sent lightning across glass. Today my heart wears you like curtains. Today it fills with you. The room in my window is full of leaves ready to fall. Chada, you say. It's tea. We drink. It is cold outside. Again, see, I don't know. I feel like as of right now, something that I've kind of noticed throughout the course of my very short adult life is that it seems like there are a lot of cycles that I've been going through. And I feel like this is one of the moments in which the cycle that I'm in is coming to a close. Like I mentioned earlier, the moment with Miss Daly and Dutch Art and Anna Sophie moving to Netherlands and now me going to the Netherlands in the fall. It feels like the end of an era, the end of a cycle, the start of a new cycle. And I feel like this poem is kind of it because, again, in high school, I never imagined that I would ever go into radio, that I would ever have a show called Inkhonglish where I would basically talk at people for an hour in English and Korean, and that they would listen to me, and that they would like it, and even give me a prize for it. So yeah, again, I was just alone in my room last night, going through all of these old little documents, all these old little mementos, all these things that represent who we were as teenagers, And this poem in particular just really stood out to me. And I feel like for me, it holds... This is going to sound so pretentious, but I feel like, especially because in this poem, they talk about like the word tada and like all the different things that it could mean. And I feel like even though these are the same words that I read at 17 or 18, reading it now at 20 on my radio show for my family and friends who are listening in, like all the people, so many people who I care about are listening in. It's just different, you know? The words have stayed the same, but I've changed, and that makes it different, you know? And I'm sure that even for people who listened to me reading this poem like 2 minutes ago, maybe they interpret it a little bit differently than I did. And who knows, maybe I'll read this again in 2 more years, and I'll be a different person reading it. So yeah, again, it's so strange. It's so strange growing up, and viewing things that were important to me and things that I held dear for me. I will admit, this is kind of my toxic trait, but I'm very sentimental. I'm a bit of a hoarder when it comes to things like this. I have this one notebook from the pandemic times, and it's basically busting at the seams. It's just full of like little collages and pictures and little poems and pieces of art and letters. And I don't know, I think it's so special that now, as I continue to get older and as my relationships with those people continue to develop, I can go back and be like, wow, there's a time when I thought that not going to New York was the end of the world for me. And now I'm just fine. I'm not in New York and I'm still very happy. But enough about me. Let's read another poem. This one is called Miss You, Would Like to Take a Walk with You by Gabrielle Calvo-Caressi, I believe. Do not care if you just arrive in your skeleton. Would love to take a walk with you. Miss you. Would love to make you shrimp saganaki. Would love like you used to make me when you were alive. Love to feed you. Sit over steaming bowls of pilaf. Little roasted tomatoes covered in pepper and nutmeg. Miss you. Would love to walk to the post office with you. Bring the ghost dog. We'll walk past the waterfall and you can tell me about the after. Wish you. Wish you would bring back. Wish you would come back for a while. Don't even need to bring your skin sack. I'll know you. I know you will know me even though I'm bigger now. Grayer. I'll show you my garden. I'd like to hop in the leaf pile you raked, but if you want to jump in, I'll rake it for you. Miss you standing looking out at the river with your rake in your hand. Miss you in your puffy blue jacket. They're hip now. I can bring you a new one if only you'll come by. No, I told you it was okay to go. No, I told you it was okay to leave me. Why do you believe me? You always believed me. Wish you would come back so we could talk about truth. Miss you. Wish you would walk through my door, stare out the mirror, come through the pipes. Again, Anna Sophie, I feel like my friendship with Anna Sophie is very special. In case you haven't noticed, in case you haven't discerned by now, with the fact that I've dedicated an hour of my show to Anna Sophie. But I feel like Anna Sophie is one of those friends that I can talk about kind of anything with. I feel like we were just two teenagers with a lot of things on our minds. And I feel like we were those teenagers. I feel like we were those teenagers who were like, yeah, we read poetry. Yeah, we like art. Not in a pretentious way, in just like a dorky way. And we didn't really have a lot of outlets to like be dorks. So I feel like we were kind of those friends where we could just like goof off and be dorky and also just dye our hair together. Well, not dye our hair together, but I could dye Anna Sophie's hair, or like we could share that experience. And like even like during the pandemic, we would like sit outside 6 feet apart in like the open air. Like I think one time they biked to so my parents' house is near an elementary school, so they like biked over to the elementary school and we sat socially distanced in the soccer field and we just like talked about stuff while like braiding grass and whatnot. And there's another time that I biked over to their neighborhood and we just like walked around their neighborhood just talking. I feel like this is one of those poems where like you know how sometimes you just like read something or you listen to a song or you watch a movie and it feels like that person who created that piece of media just understands you. I feel like this is one of those poems, and I feel like Anna Sophie is one of those people who just kind of gets me. Yeah, I don't know. Yes. Here's another poem for us. It's called Guerre du Nord by Cynthia Zarin. Pale silk spilling from a tortoiseshell, Pale silks spilling from a tortoise shell clip. Crow black sleeve reaching for the overhead rack. And there we are a lifetime ago on Pierrepont Street. Caramel gold leaf on your black coat. The river smell, seaweed and tarmac. The curb. Wet after rain and all of us soaked to the bone. The children singing fa sol la. In the station, the train's headlight, a spirit lamp, a silver brooch of stalactites, the car and the long boat over the black water, an oar splitting the lagoon, hot tea, Archangelsk, the splintered snowbound road. After all these years, I've forgotten how to write to you. And that red smear on your hand? Lily pollen, the handkerchief petals white in the station's anthracite air. Call me when you get there, you said. All right, then. I'm doing as you asked, and calling, across the pleated water, from this place you knew, always, beaded with ash and sorrow, or at least, as you would say, making another try. I think that stations are very interesting. Like, train stations... Anna Sophie complains about train stations quite frequently because their family is based in Germany and they live in the Netherlands. And there was a period, I think, over the summer after they had just moved to Europe after graduating from UW. And there was something with, like, I want to say it's called the Deutsche Bahn, like the German train system. And they were making changes to it for whatever reason. So Anna Sophie would text me and go, "Oh, they canceled my German train again." And for whatever reason, like, there's something about a river that goes, I think it's both in the Netherlands and Germany, but for whatever reason, the German train system was like, "No, we can't cross the river." And the Dutch train system was like, "Yes, we can cross the river." So they were losing their mind a little bit about trying to figure out the train system, which I might have to do. I probably will have to do, actually. Speaking of the Dutch train system, I actually have my transport card from my trip to the Netherlands that I took. It's called an OV chip card. And I still have it. It's in my wallet at all times. So the other day I was at work and I was talking to one of my friends and she also has Dutch connections. So we were talking about the German train system and I whipped out my OV chip card and she was like, "What? You have one of those?" And I was like, "Yes, I carry it around with me because, again, I'm a hoarder and I'm sentimental and I don't like letting things go." And I think... well, we only have 7 minutes left for tonight, so I think I'm just going to read two more poems, and then that'll be it for In Konglish this week. First poem we have for our last segment of the night is Tea by Leila Chatti. 5 times a day I make tea. I do this because I like the warmth in my hands, like the feeling of self-directed kindness. I'm not used to it. Warmth and kindness, both. So I create my own when I can. It's easy. You just pour water into a kettle and turn the knob and listen for the scream. I do this 5 times a day. Sometimes, when I'm pleased, I let out a little sound. A poet noticed this, and it made me feel I might one day properly be loved. Because no one is here to love me, I make tea for myself and leave the radio playing. I must remind myself I'm here and do so by noticing myself. My feet are cold inside my socks. They touch the ground, my stomach churns, my heart stutters, in my hands I hold a warmth I make. I come from a people who pray 5 times a day and make tea. I admire the way they do both, how they drop to the ground wherever they are, drop pine nuts and mint sprigs in a glass. I think to care for the self is a kind of prayer. It is a gesture of devotion toward what is not always beloved or believed. I do not always believe in myself or love myself. I am sure there are times I am bad or gone or lying. In another's mouth, tea also often means gossip, but sometimes means truth. Despite the trope, in my experience, my people do not lie for pleasure or when they should, even when it might be a gesture of kindness. But they are kind. If you were to visit, a woman would bring you a tray of tea. At any time of day, my people love tea so much it was once considered a sickness. Their colonizers tried, as with any joy, to snuff it out. They feared a love so strong one might sell or kill their other loves for leaves and sugar. Teism sounds like a kind of faith I'd buy into, a god I wouldn't fear. I think now I truly believe I wouldn't kill anyone for love, not even myself. Most days I can barely get out of bed. So I make tea. I stand at the window while I wait. My feet are cold and the radio plays its little sounds. I do the small thing I know how to do to care for myself. I am trying to notice joy, which means survive. I do this all day and then the next. If that doesn't summarize the pandemic experience, I really don't know what does. There's like kind of, I don't want to say an inside joke, but there is something about tea that I have with Anna Sophie. At work, I like brought a kettle in, and this is so bad to admit, but I also brought like a tea strainer and tea, like German tea that Anna Sophie got for me, because I don't know why, or like, I don't know how this came to be, but the Germans have this really intense culture surrounding tea. They really like tea. So I have like this loose leaf German tea that I've had for like a year and a half, that I still have not finished. I've been slowly making my way through it. But I feel like tea reminds me a lot about Anna Sophie. And during the pandemic, we would talk about making tea quite a lot. And I don't know. I really like how this poem talks about how caring for yourself is a kind of love and it's a kind of devotion. 바로 이 시에서 대한 게 이제 차를 얘기하는데 근데 차에서 이제 약간 사랑에서 대한 거를 얘기하니까 이제 나에게 약간 건강을 챙기면서 나 스스로 챙기면서 그게 사랑이라고 얘기하니까 약간 좀 되게 감동받는 poem인 것 같아요. Okay, we have one more poem, but this is super long. Not totally sure if I can finish it, but I will so try. It's called Where's the Moon? There's the Moon, A Story for Children by Dan Chiasson. 1. If I look to the opposite shore and greet myself there, if I call out to myself, come here, and watch myself laboriously construct from shore things a boat, and watch myself over the waters come rowing, but crossing the midpoint between shores, out in the middle of a colorless lake, no longer approaching, no longer coming closer, disappear. Where am I now? Has my boat capsized? 2. Infinite capacity for love in the smallest detail, infinite suffering in the innermost reality, large mind in even the dumbest, mutest object, destiny in an object that stands still, heart in the middle of the gray, motionless water, the largest sadness in the world is a growing buoy. In a buoy and the bird overhead, huge sadness, and yet I hop from place to place as though I'm weightless. 3. When I picture my father, I see the surface of the moon. Plains of moon stuff, chalk dust papers shredded by a paper shredder, snowbanks of shredded paper, nobody to organize it all, no way to moralize the day out of its aimlessness, nobody with a shop vac handy, slowly to turn the whiteness into pattern and form, revealing, as a chisel reveals in the marble, a figure, a woman's sculpture, an expression of bliss. 4. Now that big non-entity, the moon, is in my mind. The cliches for representing Earth are hereby banished. 100 open-ended poems, abrupt transitions, high tones grating against the low, unsorted experience. Sex besides the holy man defiled by sex. The pig pile of ways you can get high right here beside the dawn and how badly you want to die. The fleer, the road that unravels like a banner before him. There's quite a few stanzas left to this poem, but I think this can be Anna Sophie Poem Hour Part 2 for next week. Again, thank you so much for listening to In Konglish, and I hope all of you have a great rest of your night.